are listening to Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase with host Matt Kona. The Naked Comedy Showcase can be seen the first Thursday of every month at 9:30 at Improv Boston, Central Square in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with host Andy Ofeisch. Without any further ado, take your clothes off or leave them on. Here is Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase.
Welcome to Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase. The podcast. Matt Cohen is my name. That's Nick, the announcer.
That's my last name, the announcer.
And we're here with frequent guest Valley D and first time guest Ryan Clausen. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
Welcome. Glad to have you here.
Great to be here.
Yeah, you guys both have musical instruments. So I say you improvise a song to begin the show, and we'll make it our theme song from now on. Whoa. Just, oh, I don't
Great.
Know.
Great. I'm prepared.
All right. Cool.
To improvise.
Of course she is. Me too.
Great.
And a one, and a two, and a one. Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's the new theme song for the
so
Backstage at the Naked Comedy Show.
So entertained. I was so entertained just now. That was great.
Yeah. That was awesome. Jam session. So we're in the front room this month to, anybody that hears a car go by. That's what that is. First time guest on the show, cars.
So. Oh, cars go by.
Yeah, cars go by.
Cool.
Bishop Allen Drive.
This is my street.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I live really close.
Yeah,
yeah.
So many you listeners, you could see Valley D going home grocery shopping.
Oh, please don't look at me.
All right, everyone, remember plug your street and your home address.
JP.
JP does have a good harvest co-op.
Cambridge has a good harvest co-op, I should say too.
Yeah. Oh goodness. Whoa, gracious!
Doesn't that add a lot?
Wow.
We have this really beautiful centerpiece
wow.
on the table.
You guys should help yourself, like take some nugs, you
it
know?
It might not just be the best thing to do within this moment. I just saw us, like, member walk by. But, you know, in game shows, they give you the home version of the game.
Then the turkey, you know?
Yeah. If you could do any, let's begin with this question. If you could do any game show, traditional American game show, in the nude, which one would you choose? You can either choose to be referred to as naked or in the nude.
Yeah.
You'd have to be naked around the rest of your family.
I think you might have just come across like a $1 million idea.
Well, I think it's worth a lot more than a million, Jesus Christ.
No, but Ian, you get the rhyming name, Family Feud in the Nude.
Ooh.
See?
You could, gold.
What if you did that? Cause Andy at the end of every show says, tell your friends, but don't tell them what it is. If you told your family that you signed them up for a game show that could win them thousands of dollars and didn't tell them that it had to be done naked, Do you think that they would do it, and do you think that you could talk them into it?
Well,
think
about, how many is
well,
they?
Well, think about it. It's usually a four team. It's usually you and three other family members.
So you have to have three family members.
So you choose your top three. Let's begin with this.
Yeah, let's,
top three family members that you think would appear naked on a game show with you if you surprised them with that news. We'll start with Nick.
Boy, I'm going to have
You also have to think about if they'd be good at guessing what 100 Americans that have been pulled on the street have been asked.
I'm going to have to go with my mother's side of the family because I know at least a couple of my aunts were strippers at one point. So
it's like more than one.
Yeah.
How did that dynamic play
out? Why don't you just name them all to be safe and then choose your...
I pass.
All right, have you guys had a moment to consider?
I can't believe you made that up about your family.
Yeah,
I know it's pretty awful, isn't it? I know I shouldn't. I shouldn't make up lies like that about my family for sure.
What a creative imagination. Yeah. Ryan, do you have family you think would be down?
No. I was thinking when you mentioned that he said don't tell people what it is. I tried that to this girl that I knew. I said, "Oh, come to the show. It's at 9:30." But then Andy was like, you need to send them a link or they won't be able to get tickets. So then they go, and then she wrote, she's like, wait, people are naked? This is weird. I'm not coming.
Oh, she just didn't come?
We need a way to get them into the door without them knowing.
Yeah. I mean, some people, I've heard people mistake it. They're like, oh, it's called the Naked Comedy Showcase because these comics are telling the naked truth.
Yeah. Unless they see a picture of Andy doing the splits.
Bullshit.
Unless they see the picture of Andy doing the splits naked upside down. You know.
But those splits are the truth, though. Like the way he does them.
True splits.
Yeah. That's the real deal.
I love that it's going on. I love the show is booming and it's like, oh.
These are the only available seats and they're surrounding us. They could have easily made over $100 if they just put these in there. No. But we're using them as the podcast studio audience.
Yeah, that's a good problem
right.
to
There's
have.
Chairs in here.
When you're sold out, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have family that would do it?
Oh, I mean, I would definitely choose family members that I think would be fun, regardless of whether they would enjoy themselves, would be funny to have them do.
I feel like because when my mom found out I've done the naked show, she called me a prostitute. She probably wouldn't be down.
But she
I
would.
I forgot you told us that before.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're not a prostitute if you get paid and don't have sex.
That is funny.
Anyway. Okay.
Right. We had a kind of a debate of what sex work is.
Yeah.
Well, and there's different ways to prostitute
you and your mom?
Yourself.
No,
prostituting
we did
yourself.
Here.
Oh, you guys did.
My mom and I also did, but it was less lighthearted.
Yeah. There were fewer punchlines. So, Valley and Ryan, this is the first time you've met each other tonight?
Great to meet you.
Yep.
Okay, because Ryan and I remember the first time I met you, you wanted me to... I remember.
Okay.
Wait, let's see if it confirms, but I think it was at the Green Dragon, and you asked me to videotape you when you went up there. You had a small little camera, and I put it down on the table, and you're telling me about all the files. No, I've
oh, that's interesting, Matt.
I think so. I mean, let's see if it predates yours, but it's tough to put a date with the Green Dragon because it's every Monday since forever.
Do you remember?
Have you ever done the Green Dragon?
Yeah, Jesse is the host.
It's every Monday at 9.
God,
yeah, I haven't done
so
it in a while because
can you just
parking's
show up, or do
ditch.
You like?
Sometimes you can show up if people don't also show up.
Yeah.
Then you can join them, but she likes to be emailed because it's a short show. She doesn't want to be there all night because some nights there's an audience, but they don't all speak English, so they they're just there to drink. They're
right.
in a conference.
So you
or
have
something.
To figure out if you speak their language.
Yeah. Yeah, and
there were some good shows. There was
I've had some awesome shows there. Yeah, yeah.
What was that?
But I enjoy the terrible shows as long as the microphone isn't screeching back at you, which is also a thing that happens.
That's rough. The sound system is kind of a challenge.
Yeah, I've also had some. They haven't happened in a long time, but I've had some colorful incidents there. One that I talk about on stage, where I made a cocaine joke on stage, and a guy just gave me cocaine. Also his phone number, which I never called, but I once accidentally called because I didn't have Jesse's, I still don't have Jesse's cell phone number, so I would just call the bar if I was running late, be like, I've got to be a little late, tell Jesse. even though it was just like a dumb showcase show.
Sign
where, like,
off, my, go on.
Yeah. And,
like she's waiting. Where the hell is Matt?
Yeah, where's this guy I've never heard of to put in the middle of the show?
Dudes from England that are waiting for Matt to come.
Yeah. To see if they stop arguing long enough to listen. But what was
the club,
your...
The club near, what was that club that was, it was right near the park?
Oh.
This is like a long
Dick
time
Doherty?
Ago.
No, right.
This is not a famous, this is, there was once a week comedy. I feel like the first time I...
Oh yeah, it wants you to talk more into the front.
First time I saw you. But that's so cool. I don't remember that. You think it was the Green Dragon?
I think it was.
Yeah. Cause I remember I knew you very early on, right when I started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there. I started in August of 2009.
Oh my God!
So it's probably around. I don't know. I don't know when you started. Yeah. But
you started before. You started before me, and I came to a club, and then you were there. I came to a room and a show, and you were doing it.
Yeah. Oh, I hosted an open mic at Rogies too. You did that a bunch.
Rogies.
Too. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Infamous.
God, I forgot
Rogies,
about that.
Which is now called a different thing.
Didn't the owner get like butt murder somebody or something? Or
no, it didn't.
Wasn't it something like? And something,
I'm not prepared to talk about any of this. No, there was no murder. Okay. There was no murder.
Oh no, somebody got killed.
Someone got badly injured. I don't know if they died.
Got badly
but
injured. Oh yeah.
I don't know. It didn't happen at the open mic. I didn't do it. But I know. We'll talk about the story.
Poison to a minor.
Nah. Well, yeah, he might have been poisoned. I don't know. He fell down the stairs, but now they do the open mic upstairs. So problem solved. That's. No, it didn't happen at the open mic. No, I have no clue. But we're getting derailed. Yeah. I don't want to talk about
what a blast
owners.
Blast. I haven't been to Boston in I think 2 years. Yeah. It's like weird even being.
Whoa, welcome back.
In the
Where
city. All over the all, a lot of different places.
Yes, yeah. So that's what I want. I didn't want
to. Cool to be back. Cool to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad that because you were a regular.
It's cool that you're here, still
at
doing
the Naked
it.
Show. Yeah,
you guys are still doing it. It's like you don't realize that to leave a city where you've been doing comedy with people like all the time and be gone for years and come back and people are still doing comedy. There's a part of it that makes me feel really good, like cool, awesome. You're still. It's like that's the way to go.
Yeah. So this is your first day back?
I just drove up today from New Hampshire. I live like 2 hours away in this town called Hanover, New Hampshire.
Where was the last? What was your last memory or last show in Boston that you did?
Jeez, I mean, I think I came to do the Naked Show and saw you here at Improv Boston maybe 2 years ago, and we had talked. You were doing something at that point. You told me about, but I forget what it was. But I think it was here. Mm-hmm. I think it was here like 2 years ago. Yeah. The Naked Show brings it back. Brings it back.
And then you left. You moved to L.A. Like, was that the last time you were in Boston, or have you been back?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been back since you've moved to.
Yeah, I've been back. I went back. I came back once. Mm. I was here for one day. I think that's when I saw you. I had just moved back from L.A. Mm-hmm. when I saw you. Yep.
So you just moved back from L.A. You saw me, and.
Then 2 years went by and now I'm back again.
And we're back.
And then 2 years are going to go by and I'm going to come every 2 years and do the, can I do the podcast once every 2 years?
Yeah. We should, bi-dual annual. And, John Baglio was here.
Hey, everybody.
Is here now in Valley D's spot.
Baglio.
Didn't bring a musical instrument, so I guess we're not going to do outro song, but, but he's more of a spoken word artist.
Yeah,
if you've listened to previous episodes, he did do a long monologue because everybody else left.
Well,
I was solo for 18 minutes or something like that, right?
John does a nasty "We Will Rock You."
Well,
we were just doing it backstage, so if you want to, Bagwell's got it.
I'm kind of like a Bobby McFerrin, where my body is my instrument.
I think your body's a wonderland.
Boom, bep, ba-doom, bep. Oh, baby, I'm thinking about your body. Boom, bep, ba-doom,
studio audience is loving it.
I'm thinking about your face.
Thinking about your face.
Thinking about your body.
Thinking about your face.
Boom, Alright, you have to get the rights. Get the record. You have to get the rights to that song now.
Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna put it on YouTube and see if it passes the copyright test.
Oh my god!
See? If you really nail the notes and they pull it off, then you know you're good. That's how you know you're good.
Is that a real song? I didn't realize it was a real song.
By Bobby McFerrin, the guy who said, "Don't worry, being happy."
Well, he wasn't the first guy to say it, but he sang about it.
Yeah. Well, that was his big hit. I had a music teacher in high school who was obsessed with that song.
Do you think that Bartlett?
I have that record, man. He does Come On Baby, Drive My Car.
Yeah, but do you think he's the first guy to ask a girl to drive his car?
What is it with first? You're very particular on whether he
was the first.
Well,
he gets associated with the phrase, don't worry, be happy, and
Also, speaking of uploading music onto YouTube, Adam Langlois uploaded I left him a drunken voicemail of me singing Bonnie Raitt's I Can't Make You Love Me.
So that is
on YouTube if anyone wants to listen to it.
Is it on your YouTube channel?
Do you know this song? Or are you doing the talk show thing?
I only know Bonnie Raitt as an actress. I don't know her really as a musician.
That's Bonnie Hunt.
No, Bonnie Raitt acts and stuff too. She's in the KFC ad campaign that's going on currently. What? Also, the Naked Comedy Show podcast is brought to you by KFC. Get some chicken.
Alright.
No, Reba McEntire.
How do you rate her? What? Reba McEntire and Bonnie Raitt are not the same person.
I don't know.
How did you guys
get
KFC
aware or not?
Sponsor the Naked Comedy Show podcast?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I get it.
It's like
Gary Busey and Bill Paxton.
What?
They both have people that look like them.
That's a good
Nick
joke.
Nolte, Gary Busey and Nick Nolte.
No, I like the first one better.
The first one's better?
Yeah.
All right, sorry. I shouldn't be workshopping my...
No, but you have to tell somebody that knows that each of those people have...
They look alike, right? Reba McEntire and Bonnie Raitt?
No.
Sure. I think it's just because they're country singers and have red hair.
Nope. None of those things are true.
There's only one thing, so settle down.
Bonnie Raitt, first of all, no, it's not. There's more than one thing. Bonnie Raitt's not a country singer.
Okay.
At all.
Okay, well, a singer.
Reba McEntire's a country singer.
All right.
Bonnie Raitt is an R&B and a
But I thought
singer.
Bonnie Raitt was a country singer because she looks like a country singer. So
That's why you convoluted the two people.
Well, some of her songs are a little bit country. But,
and they're a little bit rock and roll at times.
Yeah. I don't think those were either Bonnie Raitt or Reba McEntire songs. Ryan, settle the debate. Who looks more like Reba McEntire?
Bonnie Raitt or Gary Busey?
Or Bill Paxton.
Yeah, Bill Paxton. Rest in peace.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So were you guys ever on this? Ryan
he was the one that died.
I just,
that was the other one.
We only have talked to Ryan about him going to New Hampshire a few years ago doing comedy here before, but there's a lot of other stuff. You were probably the greatest Boston Comedy Softball League player to never win a championship in history. You're like the Barry Bonds. No.
I did. You know what happened?
He could do anything, man.
You know
he was in the outfield. He would get you out if you hit it
in
the
air. How many
balls
have you hit on Storrow Drive?
You know, none.
It's not about stats. That's only one run.
Let me tell you what I did.
He runs really fast.
I went.
Well, he runs from first base, cuts across the pitcher's mound, and goes to third base.
John Baglio's ego just stepped outside of his body and moved closer to the microphone.
I can't wait
to tell about how he hit it on the fucking Storrow Drive right now.
Oh, ask me how many times.
Most of the times have been off of me.
I hit it off Matt twice in one game, too.
Yeah, but I think he probably lost the game.
So. We won. I think I have the single game.
He's got the fucking
single
score sheet.
Season and career over the fence home run record in Boston.
Really?
All right.
You made a career out of paying $75 a year to play softball.
Anyone that's listening to the podcast, I'll pay $100 if they make a rookie card for John Baglio.
But it can't say Rookie of the Year. Well, I mean, I don't remember.
It has to have all his stats on it.
I don't remember his rookie year.
All the stats. Continue with all your stats.
Rookie year, I was...
For Boston
Comedy
Festival.
Okay, so not rookie. Just whatever year. Whatever year.
All-time stats?
Tell the year. All-time stats. You can tell the years you played or whatever. We need a John Baglio.
If you make a John Baglio card, any listeners that do Photoshop...
Like, it has to be a real card. Can't be on a... It needs to be on a, like,
But
a
I have
card.
To send them the picture, and it's of the human monster truck.
Ah, man. You can't do that.
But If somebody photoshops a card, I will give you a Boston Comedy Softball hat. I also have about 20 more if anyone wants to just buy one for me for $10.
And mine's $100 cash.
Yeah.
That's easy.
So it starts itself out.
Dig it.
$100 and a free hat.
$100 and a hat. Let's go.
I started watching YouTube videos about how to hit the ball. Ken Griffey Jr. I went to the first Boston Comedy Open tryout, and I couldn't really hit the ball, and so I just spent hours watching videotape.
You should have got the Fred McGriff one.
And then I'd learn, like, I was just doing exactly what he told me, and it worked out.
Moving your hips. And
just hitting late. I was like, he would just say, wait until the ball comes, wait until you want to swing, and then wait, and then swing like you think you're going to miss it, and then you're always going to throw that ball right over first base, where normally there's like no one who can handle it.
That's what, Ted Williams taught that in The Secret of Hitting, or whatever his book is called.
Yeah.
And then Tony Gwynn took it to a whole nother level. Tony Gwynn would just notoriously hit balls between first and second.
Yeah.
Just rake singles all day.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Talk Radio and then backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase. If you could play one sport, John Baglio, in the nude with your family as your teammates, what sport would it be? And you get to choose the infield of family members. All playing naked, but they don't know it until they show up that day. But they have to play.
But does it have to be, it could be any sport. So I would go with basketball.
Okay.
We got our five.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, name them.
So.
And have any of your aunts been strippers?
No.
Okay.
I have one aunt, she's 92, and I would hope she's not a stripper. Or never strip. She's 92. She's my great aunt.
Oh, your great aunt.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have any regular aunts? You have two?
I have two other regular aunts.
You have two regular aunts that you're not putting in. You're not putting them into the game.
No, they're not in the game.
They're not even on the bench.
All right. So I'm going to run the point at 6'3". I'm going to run the point.
Okay.
And then we're going to have my brother-in-law, Pat. He's going to be shooting guard.
Okay.
And then my sister Jen is going to be the small forward, the enforcer.
Okay.
And then my mom is going to be power forward, and then my dad will be the center.
Okay, that's good. So that's your mom's a power forward.
Right, does that make you the power bottom?
Why do we have to go there?
Why do we have to go there?
No, but it's just camaraderie. It's not incest.
It's just friendly. It says
when
how,
you're in there in the huddle,
just how we greet each other.
Said I'm the point guard.
Oh, okay. You did say that. Okay.
Yeah, it's true. Ryan, any basketball?
I'm hard of hearing sometimes, so I got these.
Ryan, you played hoop with us a couple times, right?
Oh my god!
Yeah, did you watch videos for that too?
No, it was terrible.
If you take a look at Ryan, he's wearing tie-dyed, playing the congas, and you would not think he's the biggest jock in Boston comedy history.
No, I used to play sports, but I'm not anymore. But we played one game, we lost, we got killed by that team of really good basketball players.
Yeah, we tried doing a team.
Yeah, you guys went rogue. You broke apart. We took the Boston comedy brand that was established with the very respected softball league,
and then we tried
made
to do
a mockery of it.
We tried to do a basketball team, and it was like Kyle Plouffe, Langston, Sean Connolly, myself, what's his name, David, he was a doctor, little guy.
He had glasses.
Go
to the comedy studio.
Trying to remember. Ryan Cott was on the team. James
David,
Nixon.
The little guy.
Little guy.
And we tried to join a semi-competitive league at Basketball City, which used to be on top of a parking garage in Boston. It was like a dome. And we tried to join a semi-competitive league, and then we found out when
you accidentally joined a non-competitive league.
No, there weren't enough teams to do the semi-competitive league, so they put us in the competitive league.
Yeah.
So we were playing guys who had been playing together for like 5 years.
They were straight on slamming. They were dunking.
We played a game 5 against 5. There were no subs, and we were playing.
Sounds even
like
to me.
But these guys were like D1 athletes. We only had 4 guys show up, so we had to have someone who works at the facility.
For those of people who don't know, like college sports, D1, the D stands for dazzling.
Yes.
By the way, they're telling the same story, but it's very different context.
Okay, go on.
They're all telling the same story that you're going to tell now.
Yeah.
But it's
nobody's doing a podcast with the good basketball team that defeated
ragtag
group of Boston Comets.
But we were getting dunked on real bad. And we lost the game, like, it had to have been like 140 to like 56.
Really?
It was bad.
The Cats keep in score?
Well, we only have 5 people. And so it's just like, I can't play 45.
It's not a very strong bench.
I can't play 50 minutes straight of basketball. We were just gassed, and these guys were like, really good athletes, so they would just outrun us.
Is there
they
a had video? Like, yeah.
There's actually Mark Bash might have a video because he would record all the games to watch his film
to break down the film
of himself.
Okay.
And then, but they also had like one old dude.
Well, so Ryan, you used to videotape yourself. Lodge ever videotape the basketball or the softball? Have you ever done that? Because I think I.
All right. No sports.
Oh, all right.
You're leaving? I think I got to head over. I'm about to go on stage.
Baglio out.
All right, Baglio. Hey, we got to give you something to funny to say on stage. And then, no, I don't know. You know, just go.
All right.
I meant like to say like a dumb, like, how's everybody doing out there in Fairford, Connecticut tonight?
How about, can you just work in a Geronimo at some point during your set?
Sure.
All right. All right, we're going to bring Dan Martin in. Wait, Bags, you're on right before me. Oh, that doesn't work out. Okay.
Dan.
Text me when you go up. Okay. He's not going to do that. But hi, Dan. I'll miss my set to talk to Dan Martin.
Hi, everybody.
My set's going to be a ripe shit show tonight anyway.
Good evening.
A ripe one?
A ripe shit show. Yeah, I don't know. I've never used that phrase before. But
I don't know how I'm going to take it. Yeah, look, I don't think
that's not a great.
Like I've received
show.
It right into my ears because I put the headphones on.
That was the first thing that.
So it went right in.
What is it?
A ripe shithole.
A ripe shithole.
A ripe shit show.
Shit show. A ripe shithole would be a lot different.
I'm gonna show you my ripe shithole. I'm gonna go on stage right now at the Naked Comedy Showcase and show them my ripe.
That's my closer.
So I gotta go.
It's your opener and your closer.
Boom!
Hopefully.
Nick.
If everything works properly.
It never fully closes. It weeps a lot. Hi.
Always flexing.
Hi everybody. Ryan.
Hi,
hello.
Dan Martin.
Ryan's a blast from the past. Hi Nick.
Hi Dan Martin.
Hi Matt.
Hi Dan. Oh, going around. You guys know each other, Ryan and Dan.
Oh yeah, of course.
So. I mean, you were just kind of in naturally came to that. I've never gone out and shown the audience my ripe shithole.
We know.
Even if it wasn't ripe. But Ryan. Ryan has.
I may have, but he
didn't get yelled at and hollered at for that.
That was another thing.
No,
what do you mean?
Was it here?
3 month ban.
Was it here?
Yeah, 3 months.
Oh yeah, the audience needs jokes.
I gotta go, I'll be back.
So Dan's gonna go in.
I'm gonna give them this one tonight. It's,
ooh, okay, go on.
What are Super Mario's overalls made out of? Whoa. Denim.
Ah, that's a good one. But Dan, I want you to hear this one, and I want this-
Yes!
Did you write that, or you just know that? Yeah.
I came up with it, like, I didn't write it, but I, like, remembered it from my childhood a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. All right, so this is a joke. I went to Disney World, and they have this thing called the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Factory.
Yeah,
you're supposed
to
generate laughs. And you can text them a joke before you go in, like when they're waiting in the lobby. So I wrote a joke. I texted them two jokes. One that I was like, if they accepted this, it would be funny, but they probably wouldn't. And then the second one, I'm like, I just wrote a dumb joke on the spot, and they accepted that one. So I tried to record it on Instagram because it's a character from the Monsters, Inc. movie saying it.
Yeah. Is it like the Billy Crystal voice?
Yeah.
Mike
Wazowski? It's not. It's Mike Wazowski's like intern or something. I didn't see Monsters University. I saw Monsters, Inc. But
Monsters University was great.
They're both very good. Play the joke. All right.
Brady in Brady's from Ohio. Brady, Sailor Cyclops has a smartphone. You know what you call that?
No.
An iPhone.
That's good.
Oh, great.
Thank you. So that's my Disney credit.
All right. Nice. I will try to be back. All right. Good. Goodbye.
All right.
Good luck.
Give them that one.
That's another joke you can give them.
Sailor Cyclops. Sailor Cyclops' smartphone is an iPhone. Four.
Denim.
Yeah. All right.
Three denims, four phones.
Dean Abbott, welcome back to the Ryan Clausen, This Is Your Life of Boston Comedy. You guys did comedy around here at the same time. Do you have any fond memories of each other?
I don't think we've ever met.
You haven't met? Really?
No.
Because Dean has been doing it for longer than I have, so it's like, I thought that it would all have been crossed over. Well, Dean lived in Worcester for a while.
So I used to go to Rhode Island a lot, and once in a while I would hit Boston. I hated going.
What room were you doing in Rhode Island?
Rhode Island back then, I started at the Century Lounge. That's where I first started comedy. And then, where else? Twin River.
Yeah.
Catch a Rising Star.
We're going there tomorrow, but not to the show.
Yeah.
I once won a contest there, but then was never booked again, and they changed the name of the place. It's still not booked, but go on.
I used to lose at a contest all the time, and they actually booked me once.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Hey, there you go.
You can only get booked if you lose there? The contest, Cody. You didn't know that?
Yeah.
The Worcester Room. Is there a Worcester Room run by that guy, that comic?
Which comic?
Worcester Comedy Club?
Oh, I don't know that guy. Who is?
Is there no Worcester Comedy Club?
A place called Worcester Comedy Club. I don't know. There used to be Frank Foley's, and then Dick Doherty has a room in Worcester.
Yeah, Comedy Safari.
But those are pretty much the only things that have been always.
They're actually making a comedy club in Worcester now.
Really?
Yes.
Well, they used to have a Nick's Worcester.
Yes.
That would be out there. I don't know. I mean, I've heard. I forget what comic talks about telling jokes on a dance floor there. In a show.
Was it Greg Fitzsimmons, maybe?
Oh, yeah, it might have been. And that's a great book.
Because the Coo a Coo used to be huge in Worcester. That's where there was a huge comedy club there. That was way before my time. Mm. Yep. Joe Rogan and Greg Fitzsimmons, they always talk about going there. Yeah.
Yeah. What about your journeys to Worcester, Ryan? Where would you go?
I did Dick's. I did some great shows. The Comedy Vault was one of my favorite clubs maybe ever.
Yeah.
I hate that it's not there anymore.
I know. I like the Comedy Vault too. Although I never did the Bringer show, but I knew one of the comics. So they would just have a different headliner host the show 7 days a week or six, and then Sunday or maybe five, because they would have whoever was headlining that weekend headline. Maybe it'd be the same guy sometimes. But they would do like Monday through Thursday would always be a different headliner. And Danny Kelly's like, "You're funny. You ever perform at Dick's?" And I was like, "No, I just didn't want to do the Bringer." And he's like, "Oh, just show up on Tuesdays." Like, Kathy's not there anyway. So I did it for like 2 years before I like ever met Kathy, or I like went to the Christmas party. And she's like, "Who is this guy?" one time an out of town comic, wanted to do a spot, and so I asked Danny, and he's like, "Yeah, sure." And so he showed up early on the only Tuesday that Kathy has ever been there, and she's sitting down in the green room way before the show starts, and she's like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "David." And he's just like, "Are you an audience member?" And he's like, "No, I'm a comic. Matt Kona booked me."
Oh.
And she's like, "Who's Matt Kona?"
That's great.
Yeah. So, it all works out. Now, that's a question that's very common. Who's Matt Cohen?
Who the fuck is Matt Cohen?
But Kathy Doherty coined it, just like Bobby McFerrin coined the phrase, "Don't worry, be happy." And
only there's not.
Baby, when I drive my car.
There's some Matt Kona stickers still in Worcester lingering around. So I'm sure people are taking a piss and
marketing.
10 years. We met 2008 and just
2009.
Like, 2009. But just bang, 10 years goes by and it felt like we were just starting. And we were like, wow, 10 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So you've been in New Hampshire. Whoa. Tell me about that journey, because I've seen sporadic posts on Facebook. But you never know what's in your feed. You've definitely done some cool stuff, and this is probably the subject of a longer conversation entirely. But
you know,
sum it up. You have to sum it up in a nutshell. Like, if this was a movie, the back of a VCR tape, VHS tape, VCR tape.
I started looking at life as a show that never ended. Like, as a, because I got annoyed. I went to LA. I couldn't perform. I went from like being able to perform all the time in Boston. You go to LA, you cannot get on stage, and it's like, this sucks. I can't even do what I like. Mm-hmm. And so I like struggled for a long time, and then I hit this point where I go, what if I just make life, like just pretend that you're in a show always. When you go to a store, you go to a 7-Eleven, you go grocery shopping, you're always in a show, and it can be funny and sad and interesting. That's sort of what kind of saved me. Because if you can only perform when you're on a stage with an audience, and you don't have that, then you're like depressed because you can't do it.
And what do you do for yourself after you've been doing it?
Yeah.
So would you go out and just like do stuff
yeah.
in public that was a show.
Yeah, just go, just be weird out in public. Just go, in every interaction you have with every single person. But I do miss performing, though. There's nothing like it. Oh, God. How could I take? I'll never take 2 years off again, ever.
So this is going to be your first time performing in 2 years?
Yeah,
today?
Yeah. I really haven't done anything. I've been doing other things. I was working with the homeless for a long time, trying to start this community center in New Hampshire. So it was like full on working with homeless people every day, all day.
But there was that many homeless people in that rural part of New Hampshire?
Yeah, yeah. Like I live in this rich town where Dartmouth College is, but if you drive like 2 miles, there's people sleeping under bridges. And so like no one really knows this in the community. So I came home, I had this building and I renovated and we started housing homeless people, but it was illegal because it was an office building. So the cops were up our ass and everyone thought that we were crazy, but we just, and the fire marshal came to the building and he said, no one can be sleeping. So I had to make sure like these homeless people knew. So I swear to God, I had at one point 15 homeless people in a building who all had to, I would just say, oh, hey, they're here. Everyone just had to be awake and sit in their room as they would come around and inspect these rooms. So I did this for like a year in New Hampshire. That's what I was doing. And I completely burnt out.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And then I flew to the Big Island of Hawaii where I was for like a year and I came back 2 months ago to New Hampshire. And now I'm in Boston for the first time.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Hawaii. Wow.
And the first day I was in Hawaii, I ran into Josh Blue, who was performing that night. And I guess there's a building comedy scene in Hawaii, which is cool to see.
Wow.
You would like that. You should come
I would
out.
Love that, of course. Although they would expose me immediately because Kona is not my real last name and it is island in Hawaii and people love it. Obviously.
Wait, where'd Kona come from?
So Kona became a thing. I don't know. I had some idea in my head about wanting to use an assumed name when I started out just to be safe. I don't know. I was very private about things. I don't know what my nightmare would be. People from high school me up and, so I used to make prank phone calls under the name John Kona, which was just because like a very Mrs. Doubtfire flipping through the phone book to get businesses to prank. It was like a coffee ad and it said Kona on it. John's my middle name, so that's what I was going to do. I was going to do comedy as John Kona, but the first open mic I did, I met Rob Crean. He said, I'm Rob. And I said, I'm Matt.
This is hilarious, really. God, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
You need to perform in Kona.
I know.
We could definitely arrange that.
In Kona.
I remember when I first learned that Kona was not your real name. I was at a bar in Europe on stage and a kid next to me went to high school with you. He goes, yeah, I know him when he was such and such. I'm like, what?
What? He's on the run? He's changed his name?
He's like, Matt, that's not Matt. His name's not Matt Kona. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It threw me off.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
10 years later.
But have you ever, you've never performed like, under a different name or done characters on stage?
I was doing a show in like a casino outside of Vegas and I was doing 3 shows and the first 2 shows went well and the third show I said I'm just gonna like be the worst comic ever on purpose.
Yeah.
And
was it third show in a night? So
No. There's 3 shows, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 shows. And so for like 40 minutes, I just pretended I got to the point where everyone in the audience was just like, what is happening? This is the worst show we ever seen. You actually know what happened?
I want to know.
I flew back. I went to Portsmouth. I might have asked you if you could open. I was trying to do I got booked to do a show at the Music Hall in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. This is like 3 years ago. I do the show. It goes great. They go, we gotta have you come back next year. But between that time, I got into like doing just pure improv on stage, just doing this weird kind of, let's see what happened. And so I did. My dad came to the first and only time he's ever seen me perform. My dad comes to the show at the Music Hall in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, wherein it's advertised as a night with Ryan Clausen. And I show up and I tell everyone working there, I go, I'm doing a totally impromptu thing. I have no idea what's going to happen. When everyone gets in the room, we're just going to say, hey, begin. We have 2 hours. So this show starts off okay. Starts off good for like 20 minutes, people, and then like, and then half of the audience in that 2 hours walks out of the show in absolute disgust, just because they didn't know it was just, I was doing, it was kind of like a blend between therapy and comedy, and people didn't know what was going on. And I'm talking about like sexual stuff. My dad is horrified to this day. He can't like talk about, he thinks it's like one of the worst things he's ever seen, like on stage.
Jesus.
And then I, yeah, I did this. Jesus. I told the audience, I go, I'll give anyone their money back if they write to me, they ask their money back. And I gave away, I gave most of, almost all the money that I made on the show.
That bad when they took the time.
That's fucking amazing. All right. I want to push the pause button for a sec because I have to perform. So no, I'm not putting it on the whole thing, but I want you to keep talking. There's one thing that I wanted to ask you about. It was one of the Facebook things that saw you. That I saw you go by, but tell me about the college show that you did where.
Oh, they didn't pay me?
They got, yeah, they didn't. Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
Cause I have to go.
Kill it.
And then you're going up after me, so.
I'm gonna have
I
you?
Think so. Oh. Let me just look at the list. But I'll text you, like, right before I go on stage, or I'll text Nick, and you can let him know, but I'll try to, send someone back in a bit. But yeah, start with the college show. Dean, you can counter with your worst college. And then
I was doing a show, was it in Ohio? I think it was in Ohio. And it's like a nice theater. It's like 500 students. But I had done this. I used to be a dating and relationship coach. I did that. And I made money doing that, speaking at colleges around the country. And so, and then I got into comedy, and then they this school in Ohio booked me to do the show, and there's this huge snowstorm, so I have to drive through a snowstorm. I get on a plane, I fly to Ohio, but this is like when I'm like a world peace sort of hippie activist, so the whole show is just about hippie activism, world peace, getting everyone to, and like, no, the students are loving it, but the people who booked me are like completely horrified, like, you're not talking about you're not doing what we booked you to do. So they just straight up said, we're not going to pay you. And I was like, oh, I just flew on a plane and almost died in a car crash driving through a snowstorm to get here. But yeah, that was the worst. Have you ever not been paid? Have you ever been told you're going to get paid and then didn't get paid?
No.
I have such a good not going to get paid story. I can't wait.
I'm going to bring on another voice because I'm leaving, but, well, Pete Andrews is going to sit down, and then I'm going to go up and do my thing. But Pete, do you have any terrible show stories or not getting paid stories?
Absolutely, I do.
So, but Ryan.
Yeah.
So, you did the whole show.
The whole show. Students
and
liked
it. Well.
Students loved it. It was great. Energy, fun. It was all, you know, a bunch of like team bonding, stories, fun, all about like, let's connect, oneness. I was discussing, you know, being one, loving each other like a family, like all these topics that are dear to me. But they were like, why isn't he doing, he's not doing dating or relationship advice that we thought he was going to do.
Oh, so yeah, you were like,
oh, so it wasn't a comedy gig.
They booked it. It was like a comedic dating show. It was a dating show that's funny. That's what they booked me to do.
Yeah. And you went with oneness.
I went with oneness and like help the homeless.
Well,
and I took my shoes off.
Did
which
anyone
they were
join
super
your cult
offended
as a result?
They were mad you
did
took
anyone join
shoes
your,
the cult?
Circle slash cult?
Cult?
Yeah.
You
cult.
Took the shoes off.
It's full cult.
I took my shoes off.
Well, that's what you did. You like acquired a lot of land and then you started preaching love and you took your shoes off. People were fucking afraid of you.
Yeah. I went full cult mode.
You did.
Full.
So who was your celebrity target you were going to have them murder at the end?
Ooh.
Oh, did you think about that? You should have thought about that.
You got to plan out your murder in advance.
Pete, I don't think he was ready for this, even this podcast. So
jeez, Pete really cuts right to the chase. Pete, we're just getting to know each other. You already want to know the celebrity murders.
I mean, it's gossip's like gossip. I don't care who you are.
Right?
That shit's still in the works, man. You can't be talking about it.
And then, so I have no money, right? So after the show.
So did you have to pay for your own?
Everything.
Oh my God.
They didn't pay you?
They didn't pay me. They said, we're not going to pay you. We don't like the show you did.
Oh, money up front.
I know. That's my new rule.
Oh man.
And then I had to fly to this festival in Costa Rica called the Envision Festival. I've never been to a festival or a music concert in my life till somehow I go to this Costa Rica.
Wait a second. You started the story off with, I was a hippie. You are a hippie that has never been to a fucking concert before?
Yeah, I'm
Who
a late
a
bloomer.
That's a real hippie.
Now.
I just forgot to go, man.
I just kind of went baked and I fucking didn't leave.
You sit in a Volkswagen van and listen to the Dead album on repeat. Yeah.
Like, I totally thought about going.
I would have gone.
Is that what you were
going to
say, Dan? Is that the same thing you were going to say? Is that
that's why we were slapping each other
So I, listen, I have a, yeah, I have yeah. a, this is, I'm not nearly as financially, fucked as you got on this, but I, so I'm a musician. And I, one night, I went to this place. It was up in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. It's not there anymore. It was called the fucking something Moose, and I can't remember. The Bad Moose. It's called the Bad Moose. A little tiny place. Tiny.
That's a bad moose.
And it's now a Subway. Now it's a Subway. But it
sandwich
was,
shop or yep. train station?
Still get a foot long every time you ask.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Moultonboro, New Hampshire, the fucking hotbed of bussing people around left and right there on the subway
in
Moultonboro.
I believe training people around. You wouldn't be bussing them.
Touche.
Slaying?
So I show up at the gig.
Slaying people. Like Ryan and his cult.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way to my gig at the Bad Moose. And I have to piss. I have to piss so bad. And I'm like, I'm almost there. I'm just going to wait. I'm almost there. I'm just going to wait. And I get to the gig, and I fucking whip the door open, and I run to the front door, and I run inside, and I go to the bathroom, and it's fucking locked. And I'm like, and they're like, I'm busy. I'm like, I'm busy. So I go, all right, fuck it. So I run back outside, and I go over to the dumpster.
Yeah.
And I go, there's just no other, it's never, it's not, I'm either going to do that or piss my pants.
Piss, bad moose.
I'm a big fan of pissing outside.
So, so I start pissing on this dumpster.
Live for your die, brother.
And it's
New Hampshire.
It's a dumpster, it's pouring rain out, and I'm pissing on this dumpster.
It's pissing in the rain.
And the woman that owns the fucking place walks out the back door.
Was she also going to piss on the dumpster?
We make eye contact. And I'm like from me to you, Ryan. And she like looks me in the eye and I'm like pissing, right? And I'm like, hey, really sorry. There was, she just turned around and walked back inside. And then so.
Wow.
So she doesn't see me again for the rest of the night. Like, she fucking gets out of there. And so, at the end of the night, I'm packing up my shit, and I'm getting ready to leave, and she pays us, which was, it was shit money. I don't remember what it was, but it was like $300 or something for the gig. This is,
you made that much money?
Like 15 years ago or something like that.
Jesus.
That's fucking mint.
So anyways, so $300 for the, yeah, well, there's four of us, so it's only
seven. Oh, they have to split it, yeah.
So we get $300 for the gig, and I've already paid my guys, and she comes and she gives me $250, and I go, oh, this is short. She goes, yeah, you were pissing on my motorcycle out there. And I saw where her motorcycle was. Like, I know where I was in relationship to her motorcycle, and it was another length between me and you, Ryan, over here. Like, it wasn't even close.
What's with her and the motorcycle?
She was drunk at the end of the night. At the end of the night, she had molded this into I pissed on her motorcycle, which A, I wasn't even close to, and B, it was fucking pouring rain, so none of it stayed more than a second if I would have, which I didn't. And I go, look, first I thought she was fucking with me. First I thought, I'm like, what? Come on, man. I go, get the fuck out of here. She goes, no, you're pissing on my bike. I go, dude, really, man, I was nowhere near your bike. I was 8 feet away from your bike and not even pointing in the direction of your bike. Yeah. She goes, you pissed on my bike. And I go, and we went back and forth like this whole thing, like there was this cyclical thing. Okay, I would say A, she would say B. I would say C.
Did you try saying no, you pissed on your bike?
All the way around, and we come back to A again.
Rabbit season.
And it would just fucking, it went in this circle.
Fire.
Around and around and around again until I went, look, we're standing in the kitchen of this restaurant, and I go, look, I got fucking nowhere to be. So you can take off and go do whatever you're going to do. I'm going to fucking sit right here in this kitchen. I'm going to take a nap. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to make myself some fucking eggs. And I'll be here when you come back in the morning waiting for my $50. So you can either fucking pay me now or pay me later. It doesn't matter. I'm not going anywhere. And I knew I had her by the balls because she has total shit relationship with the police department in that town. They fucking hated the bar.
It's a bad move.
They hated the bar.
Drive a motorcycle.
They hated it. The cops hated it. The cops hated her. And I was like, nobody's coming here to fucking help you out, dude. They're going to come here and I'm going to tell them, look, she fucking took my $50 and they're going to go give them $50. So she didn't want the attention from the cops at all because she already has such a problem with them.
Whoa.
So she gave me my $50.
She gave you the money?
She gave me the money eventually.
This story is incredible.
I shit on the bike.
And not only that, so I finally get the fucking money and I get out of there. I'm driving home and my drummer called me and he goes, cause she was hammered. And at the end of the night, I totally forgot this part of the story. At the end of the night, she was fucking hammered, and she was like tripping over his drums, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, get the fuck out of here. And he's like, fuck you. There was like a thing, and I go, dude, you can't, just don't engage. You can't engage with a drunk bar owner. You just have to walk away. Cause
yeah. And also,
you got to walk away and piss on the bike.
And this also, is my favorite fan fiction of Blues Brothers ever.
Also, my daughter takes the trash out, so you basically showed my daughter your dick.
Wait, what the fuck?
Wait,
just
your
happened?
Daughter
Wait
works at
Wait
the Moose Bar?
Not my daughter, but like the lady's daughter.
Oh, okay. All
I was
right.
going wicked, like
oh, okay.
inside in a character. I'm sorry.
I was very confused for a second. Who just farted? I just heard a fart.
I didn't hear a fart. I heard Ryan go,
somebody farted. That was definitely a fart noise.
Weird.
We've
done
it,
folks. Dream. Tune in later to find out the answer.
who shot JR?
Who killed Laura Palmer and who farted on backstage of the Naked Comedy Showcase?
Some comedian in a warehouse that time.
Oh, God.
Yes. So anyways, I called my drummer on the way home to tell him, man, you can't fucking do that. And he's like, well, if she's acting like that, I'm going to act like this. And I go, dude, you can't do it. And he goes, well, if she's acting like that, I'm going to act like this. And I go, dude, you can't do it. You can't do that shit to the club owners. You just got to fucking say thank you and bye.
Yeah.
And he said it again. I go, you know what? Don't show up at the next gig. And that was it. I canned him. So I got my $50. I fired my shitty drummer.
Wow.
Drummers are the bane of my existence. They really are.
Really? Drummers are? They're not. They're drummers. Hard to get along with?
Because they beat to their own drum.
God damn it. You're fired.
I deserve that.
Yeah.
You asked for it. You did.
I did. I really, truly did.
All right.
Yeah.
Deerskin. It's a deerskin drum.
Yep.
I was sure you were going to tell a poem.
I was sure
right
it was
there.
Human
I was sure,
skin.
I was sure you were going to do a poem right there. Deer skin, lactating, frolicking.
Yeah. Are those like?
Hand
is that
job.
Your to-do
That's
list?
The poem.
Is that your list? Your shopping list? Deer skin, frolicking, hand job, lactating.
Sounds like a great Thursday
Sounds like
to me.
Tuesday to me. Oh, shit.
How much time does Matt Kona do on stage?
We should probably go.
Should I go on? Am I on after him?
Two of us should go.
Okay.
But.
What's the most sensible thing for us to leave right now?
Probably right this minute. Cause
I can pause this whole
I'm
thing.
Nervous.
I can pause all this.
John
I think I'm only doing 5 minutes. I can't
John
wait.
John Baglio is doing his. He's probably done. What time is it, Nick?
I haven't gotten a text from anybody. It's 10:48.
Oh yeah, we should go.
10:45.
Cause I'm on by 11, so we should go.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll take a pause, and we'll be back shortly.
Thanks so much. Love you.
All right, we're back here. Nick David, the Naked Comet, backstage of the Naked Comedy Showcase with Pete Andrews.
How you doing?
We're just having a little chitter chatter. We're talking about movies and Ron White and comedy and
all the fun things in life, man.
Yeah.
Things that keep it going.
Well, we started talking about politics because,
So as of 10:50 tonight, Canada moves to make its national anthem gender neutral,
Jesus.
Reports CNN.
Listen, man, I'm as fucking left as you can get, dude, but it's this bizarro, like, people just want to be fucking mad about something constantly. People have this need to be disappointed and disenfranchised and have something to look their nose down their nose. There's just this fucking... People are just waiting on bated breath for someone, anyone to fuck up so they can point the finger. It's like, the older I'm getting, the more I realize, like, we're all fucked. We're all fucked up people.
Oh, yeah.
All of us have, you know, if I knew the shit you did in your life and you knew the shit I did in my life, we'd probably want to fucking kill each other.
Exactly.
So, it, you know, we all have fucked up shit, man.
It's definitely like an overspin because everybody, it's kind of the, I think the fault of this, like, look at me aspect that everyone has through social media now, but everybody has their one thing that, like, this is my cause, this is the thing that boils my blood, yeah. And no one agrees on it. There's no, like, we're all from this, we're all for that. So everybody voices it individually, which becomes this clamoring noise,
yeah.
Which then occasionally just rears up and eats something, you know? Like, there was all the F1 racers today, the women who carry the boards and wear the sponsorship stuff.
Sure.
They are now banned from F1 racing and drag racing, because there was a Me Too movement that pushed it. And the unfortunate backlash to that is the only people it actually impacted were the women in those roles. Because F1
right.
Racing...
Now they don't have jobs.
Exactly.
They probably made good money doing that.
They made great money off the... basically off the men's willingness to pay women to spend time with them. You know? And it was in the most PC way you could do it. They were just walking billboards. And they enjoyed the job. It had good benefits. And they
it was like a ring card girl
exactly.
for a boxing match.
Exactly. They're the ones you see in a movie that hold up the 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the racers go.
Okay.
And a bunch of women are now unemployed because other women stood up for them without them asking
for it. My only hope is that, just like my only hope for the Trump administration, is that the pendulum has swung so fucking wildly erratic that when it swings back, it's going to find some common ground, because people from both sides, it's swinging that way, and our side swinging, I don't mean to assume your fucking political or ideological background, but rational thinking people, yeah. some of us, it's swinging too far the other direction. It's like, look, man, we all should be treating each other well, regardless of where we come from or what we look like or what our skin is. We should all be kinder and gentler to each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
We have to look more towards the things we have in common and less at the things that we break. And it's important that this pendulum is swinging right now. There were definite injustices. I mean, all the Harvey Weinstein stuff, everyone can talk all they want about how shocked they were at the realization. But backroom casting couch was a genre of porn.
Sure.
You know, it's a running gag in movies. There's, Trumbo, the Bryan Cranston movie, had a scene where she goes, back when I was an actress and you had power over me, I would have been on your couch. But now I can have you on the couch, because she had control in that movie. You know, Helen Mirren.
I didn't see the movie.
She played, an E! Tabloid X reporter at the time. Sorry, tabloid reporter at the time. But it was the whole thing of, like, it's all who has the power at the moment. And it's important that these guys that have been abusing it for years are getting acknowledged. But we can't throw out everybody with the bathwater. You know, we need to find a place where the world actually, like, the right people that are supporting each other continue to support each other.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You have to realize that you're alienating the people that would be your allies.
Yeah.
Over just fucking nonsense.
Everyone with the same skin color can't be your enemy.
Cultural appropriation is fucking nonsense. Are you telling me I can't have black beans and rice because it's a South American dish? Shut the fuck up.
It's what makes America the melting pot.
It's ridiculous. The concept of cultural appropriation is ridiculous. I saw a video of two women talking about this white kid who had cornrows, that he couldn't have them. Telling him that he couldn't have them. Get the fuck out of here.
It's that exclusion.
That's the stupidest thing. That's the stupidest thing to plant your feet on. How about planting your feet on, maybe let's not fucking kill each other more. How about planting your feet on something important and making a difference that way? You want to tell people that guy can't have dreadlocks? Shut up.
More important, important thing to take away from that is that it is those appropriations that are important. You want your kid to hang out with the Latino girl down the street or the black kid across the road. African-American kid across the street, because when he comes home, now he realizes their home isn't that different from your home. They're all people. We're all people that can work together. And wow, you got this cool food or dance or ritual. Great. This is what my family does. And you do play dates and all those things as kids, and you get indoctrinated that it's all okay. And when we start calling that, like, you know, appropriation, then you're kind of missing the point. We don't want to be Chinatown and an Italian neighborhood. Exactly. We don't want that anymore. What we want is a community of neighbors that all come over to a potluck and bring what makes their culture great. And that's what makes America great.
Absolutely.
Is that we're the best of all the other countries.
Except the pendulums are swinging so far in either direction that I just feel like that has to,
isolation is the enemy.
Hopefully it doesn't get to the point where it's like, I mean, I've felt for a long time like this country's, there's going to be some kind of fucking upheaval.
Civil war.
Some kind of civil war, man. Something's going to happen. Something awful's going to happen, I feel like.
I think it should just be a video game tournament, and the Koreans will figure out everything once they win, you know.
They win.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just within
I don't want to get drafted, yeah, man.
I'm too old to be drafted at this point.
I don't know. Civil War, they take anybody. Yeah. I've seen those movies. Dennis Quaid gets to fight in all of them. He's been 45 since I was 12.
I was going to be a late joiner of the Marines, and they used to come to my house when I was in my 30s. They're like, you can still come. You can still do it.
I had an interesting run-in with the draft agency from them when I was in high school, because I have a medical condition, a bleeding disorder, von Willebrand's, which would make me medically unqualified to participate in the military. But you still get those calls because you sign up for the free t-shirt at a concert or something. Right, and I had a guy from the Marines call me, and he was giving me a real hard sell. And I was talking to him. I was like, look, I would be 100% interested in a career in the military, but the problem is you won't take me, and I can't guarantee I would get an office job, which would be what I would require. And he was like, well, he thought I was bullshitting trying to get him off the phone. He was like, well, why? And I was like, because I have a bleeding disorder. And there was a long pause, and he just went, that sucks. And I was like, well, guess military service ain't for me, guys. Sorry. You know.
Well, I've never heard of that before. What is it?
It's like hemophilia with a bad PR agent. I'm lacking a clotting factor, but nosebleed is a severe injury. So the last guy you want sitting next to you in a foxhole, because, you know, if he slips and cuts his knee open, he can no longer help, you know? Jeez, way worse than having a woman or a homosexual on the line. They, you know, if you're qualified, you should be there. It's people that you need to know your limitations and know your strengths. And the people that make, like, we have our first female Navy SEALs coming up this year.
No shit.
I'm not sure how far in the process they are, but I read an article that they were going. I mean, completely uneducated take, but that's awesome. If you can meet the qualifications and you can do the job.
You can do the job,
yeah.
Whoever you are.
We want the best military out there. We want the best schools out there. Whoever you are, whatever race, gender, sexual orientation, rock it, man. Like, you know,
if you can do the job, you can do the job. And don't create jobs for people because they're of a certain thing either. That's another thing. It's like,
that exclusion is the most anti-capitalist thing you could do, because all capitalism is, I want to sell my stuff to the widest audience, the most people. So the idea of, I can't, you know, they can't buy my product, they can't come here. Those people are, that's not capitalism. That's not American.
Right.
Because America runs on capitalism.
Sure.
And it runs on the idea that everyone who has money, that's the only thing that matters, is the color of your currency, you know? And America seems to forget that when it gets into social issues, and that's a bad problem because it limits debate, it limits everything. And it's coming from both directions. You have traditional racism, but now you have untraditional anger that's impacting the same thing. I mean, you see people lashing out, well, you know, white women are now the problem, or white men are the problem, or this voting group is the problem. And
sure,
it's that narrow-mindedness that's limiting it, instead of going like, all of us stand for this one idea. You know, a million people march is what we need. We don't need a billion women. We don't need a billion men. What we need is 2 billion people marching.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way people will start listening, when it's a mob. It's the wall, a will of people walking down the road, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's... There are people that are, there are people that I have hope for and there are people that I don't have hope for. You know, there are certain people that I think have bought into the nonsense that's happening in the White House that just double and triple down on it. Like I was literally, I was reading a fucking thing the other day talking about this guy came on somebody's post on Facebook who was anti-Trump, had something anti-Trump to say, and this guy came on and it was about, she had said something about his, about the sexual allegations against him and how charges have been brought against him. And a guy came on and was like, he's never had any charges brought against him. No one's ever levied any. It's all the women that have done this all worked for the Clintons at one point or another. It's like, dude, you're fucking cuckoo-ca-choo. There's no hope for
people
you.
People can't see past the logo. It's Pat Siegel's, you know?
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's real weird. Yeah. It's real weird, and you're never going to convince that guy. You're never going to convince that guy that the dude in the White House would fucking step on your head to get ketchup on his hot dog.
I think he's actually running another season of The Apprentice. Like, I think he's filming it, and as soon as his term ends, whether he gets impeached, gets just ends after his first term, or gets the full eight, whenever he ends and his lawyers say green light, there's just going to be a couple seasons of, you know, this is the year I fired so-and-so from season two of The Apprentice.
Could
you know,
be.
Like,
could be.
He's turning over more government. I don't remember ever, other than watching The West Wing, seeing this many people come in and out of, like,
never.
Roles in the government.
It's never happened. Anything even close. It's just a constant barrage.
He's on, what, his fourth FBI director?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The fact that he can keep firing someone that's investigating him is beyond fucking comprehension to me. It's beyond comprehension. Oh, you're starting to get somewhere? Cool, you're fired.
Yeah.
Oh, you finally got some shit? Cool, you're fired.
That being
what the fuck is that?
That
doesn't make any sense at all to me at all.
That being said, it's the same problem I had with the Benghazi stuff. I'm so tired of our FBI spending all its time investigating our politicians. Like, I feel like there are actual criminals that are getting away with a lot of stuff because these get better tabloid attention. You know, and...
Well, there's a lot of it that's just pure distraction. It's pure distraction.
That's what
just
feels like it all
print.
Is. That's Congress has an approval rating of what, 7%? You know, like, it's the worst Congress in history, and all we talk about every day is how much Trump and them are arguing. Okay, like, what does that fix? What does that move towards? And until we start talking about that stuff, we're kind of missing the conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I only care about what's good for my fellow 7%ers.
Exactly.
Matt.
Oh, sorry, I just said
Matt Cohen back in the room.
Hashtag my Congress.
Yeah, so we'll have audio, I think, of Ryan Colossan's set. Hopefully he comes back here. I should have said come back here.
Yes, please come back here. Please come back here because he has a little gift for us.
The centerpiece. Oh,
yes. Excuse him. Would you like to take some of this? Yes, please.
Pete, you can go get him. You know Ryan? Did you meet him, the fellow who was at the tie-dye shirt?
I did, yep.
Yeah, invite him back for a wrap-up of his set because I'd like to play the audio and get his thoughts on it. It was really fun. Didn't capture it because there's a static video camera. I just set my camera up. And,
okay, send it to me and I can splice it into the podcast.
Yeah.
If you want.
But it doesn't,
I can splice it in right here.
The visuals were great. I'll hopefully let him tell the story when he returns. But, it was a lot of fun. It was cool just because to see someone that you start out with that you haven't seen perform in years because they moved away.
Yeah.
You haven't moved away. I guess it could be the reverse.
I've ever seen him. I don't think I've ever seen him perform. And I didn't realize, I thought you started way before I did, but we started around the same time.
Yeah, you were hosting the Shaskeen I was getting started, and you started doing it while hosting there.
Yeah, I mean, that was been the vast majority
did
of
Did you
my
do
sets.
Comedy before?
No, I started the open mic because I wanted to try comedy. And it was Brad Hagen and I. There was this woman called Madam Haha. I don't know if you ever know her or met her.
Does she tell fortunes? You will be 17th at the Portsmouth.
No, she's like, you will laugh in 3 minutes after this joke. They called her Madam Haha, and she did a contest, which ended up being won by a comic from Portland who no longer does comedy named, He's a really funny guy.
Shoot McGavin?
Shooter McGavin. No, it was Brian Brenniger and then this other comic. They were always together. You know Brian Brenniger for sure.
Right, from Maine.
Yeah, and then there was another comic and they were always together. And he had a big red beard. Anyways, they came down into the show and that dude won the contest. And then she was supposed to have one again the next week, and then it kept getting put off and kept getting put off and kept getting put off. And so finally one day I was hanging out with Brad and I go, dude, why don't we just do our own? Let's just do our own. I was like, I know most of the bar owners in this town. I'll find us a place. And he goes, okay. And I called him back in an hour. I was like, I found a spot.
Yeah.
We'll just start when we're ready to start. So that was in, let's see, this will be the 10th year, so 2008. Mm.
But wait, so rejoining us, Ryan Clausen, you never performed at the Shaskeen? That's why I felt like you guys might have crossed paths at some point.
Oh, no, yeah, in Manchester, New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Yeah, I performed there once, I think, once or twice.
Okay. Was it when I ran it or somebody else ran it?
It was like two guys, two friends.
Well, that was like 10 years ago.
Okay, yeah, you were probably running it. Were you running it 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It was like packed. I was there. I was like, this is crazy. I had no idea this was going on in Manchester.
No, that might have been past me. So that might have been, there were two guys that took it over after me. So, it could have been that. But, that's a whole fucking weird story.
So Ryan,
I started the Shaskeen in 2008.
Really? Cool.
With this other comic named Brad Hagen. He and I started it, and then after about a year of doing it, he moved to New York City, where he still lives now. And then we changed the name of it from, it was Nick and Brad's Open Mic Comedy Night to, I did a contest. I did a contest on the Kvetch Forum to rename the thing, and Scotty Lombardo came back with Laugh Free or Die, so, that was I got so many, dude. One of these days I'm gonna bring out the list, cause I still have the list of all the people that
sent them. You're a New Hampshire native. If you had to think of a name for a good New Hampshire comedy show, what would you choose?
Oh, jeez. The old man. The old man in the mountain. The old laugh in the
fountain.
The old laugh in the fountain. The old man in the mountain, the old laugh in the fountain.
You gotta find a restaurant with a fountain though.
It's a little wordy, but we got it. The old man in the mountain, the old laugh in the fountain. Done.
You gotta find a restaurant that's known for the fountain that they have outside though.
Or we just have to get one of those little shitty, like, pseudo-Asian, water fountains you can buy at Walmart for like $16, and we'll put that in the middle of the stage, and that'll be the...
A wishing well.
Now if you found the wishing well,
I feel like people just choose what they want to become a wishing well. Because I went, like, when I was talking about going to Disney World.
You
can
throw money into anything and call it
a wishing
well.
No, there was just body of water, like, on the walk up to the Avatar ride. I said, that's not a wishing well.
A puddle.
Clearly artificial.
We live with this. We need more of them. We're always
looking for where we can create one.
Yeah, so you just got off stage the first time in 2 years.
I just got
off
stage, it was so fun to just be with people.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So Matt recorded it, and he would like to play, and I would like to play, put the audio on the show if that's something that was okay with you.
Yeah.
Any audio you want.
I wanted to have it. Yeah. It's just me being weird.
But hey. I was saying the video wouldn't do it justice because it was a static camera. If there was a camera person, they could have
Hey, do you still go on at the end of the show? Do all the comics still go on with their penis out, or is that ended?
No, they still do that if there's enough comics backstage to make it make sense.
I feel like maybe we should go do that, don't you think?
What, Nick, would you do that? Because I think it's funnier to have someone that wasn't on the
they've been doing
the balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the balls.
I want to do the balls.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Oh, I'm good with balls. I used to pull them out all the time.
Yeah. Well, let's do it.
Oh my God, I used to pull my balls out so often.
See?
We would go, listen, my buddy, I had a buddy of mine and we did jiu-jitsu together for years, and he's this fucking just roided out monster of a guy. And he'd pull his scrotum out of the zipper of his pants, and he'd sit up at the bar, and then somebody'd be sitting next to him, and he'd go, he'd stretch his scrotum out as far as he could, pull it out of the zipper of his pants, and he'd go, "Hey man, I got gum on my pants." And then sometimes people would be like,
"It's like a classic."
People would be like, "Hey man, what the fuck?" And then they'd look at him and they'd be like, "Oh, never mind." Cause he was like, you know, fucking just had a cauliflower ear and was just fucking roided up.
They were judging
shoulders.
Him by his scrotum.
Yeah. Never judging.
They were like, "Hey man,
scrotum.
What the fuck?" And then one time, we almost got into a fight, and then the guy was so mad that when the bouncer came over to break it up, he got in a fight with the bouncer, and so that guy got thrown out, and my buddy just went back to whipping his balls out. But I used to pull them out all the time. I used to pull my balls out all the time.
Would you ever challenge your buddy to a ball off?
We would just go, all right, we're gonna start in this restaurant and fucking walk through.
You start on the left, I'll start on the right, we'll meet in the middle, whoever gets their first wins.
We'd fucking just sit at the bar and go, sure. You know, we try to get each other to do it. I used to say, is this your silly putty? I would walk up to a group of people and they'd all be talking and I'd start talking with people I didn't know and I'd be like, "Oh yeah, that's cool." And they'd be out already. And then, people would one at a time be like, "Oh, what the fuck?" and leave until it was like, just slowly people would fucking realize it and drop out of the conversation until it was like me and one other guy and I was like, "Yeah, fucking great." And I'd prone myself out and like put my hand on my fucking hip just so I could, you know, and sometimes I'd get a little bounce going until he could see something jiggling down there and he'd be like, "What the fuck, man?"
Well, do you guys
do that all the time? It's been 20 years.
Yeah,
I'll pull my balls. I don't give a fuck.
All right, so go do that because I don't know. Well, Dan,
I'm trying to think what time he's going now.
Yeah, so go now, but come back.
I'm gonna go now
at the end.
Back.
All right.
I gotta share my balls.
Share your balls.
Hey folks, this is Nick David, the producer of the show. At this point in the show, we took a short break expecting some more folks to come back for interviews, but we did not get anyone else to come back. So right now what we're going to do is play Ryan Clausen's set from the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
Alright, now we're down to the last two comics of the night. And this next guy, he used to close the show out like several years ago. I don't know exactly how many years. We've been doing this for 12 and a half years, which is crazy to me. And since 2005. And this guy did a whole chunk of shows in there somewhere. But, and then he disappeared for a while and he's back and he's just been having a life. And so I can't wait to hear what he's got now. So everyone, please welcome to the stage, Ryan Clausen!
Incredible. What I have now is absolutely nothing. Andy. Hey, everybody. I haven't performed. I haven't been on stage in like 2 years. I don't even know how it goes anymore. You're going to take the mic stand, move it back here. Very professional. Always move it out of the way. It's the first thing you learn. Okay, we have very little time. We've got like 6 minutes. So the biggest question racing through my head right now is what could we possibly accomplish? In 6 minutes, you're already going to the phone? What is it, ma'am? Let's change your whole life now. Change it. Let's change it. Let's change your whole life. Let's change it. We don't know. No stripping? I have zero clothes on. No, wait, did you say no dancing? There's definitely there's always dancing. I don't want to go anywhere where there's not dancing. How's everyone? Is everyone happy? There's no comedy. There's just me experiencing you guys. We got 4 minutes left. We want to jack the laughter up, everybody. Let's get the laughter. Let's get it up. Let's feel good. Let's open up that heart chakra, my brother. We can do it. We're all one family. It takes a naked man to do it, everyone. How are you? Good energy. Good energy. Ah, oh, guys, the cool people come to the naked show. You said front row, but too much dancing. Too much dancing here. That bell's for you. That bell's for you. That bell's for you. How comfortable are these chairs? Watch that cord. Careful. Careful with the cord. You're back. Hey, can I tell a story about you?
You can tell a story about me, and I really honestly prefer you keep it to the stage.
Okay. I can't do it. You know I've been banned from the show previously? I can't do anything right.
Let me keep this away from you.
Keep it away.
No, really, he got banned from the show for putting his dick in the mic stand.
3 month ban. That's 3 month ban. Improper use of mic stand.
Really, it wasn't that big a deal because I was only booking you once every 3 months anyway.
Andy changed my life.
What did I do?
We had such a great intimate conversation the other day on the phone that was so meaningful to me.
You called me at 11:30, and at one point in the conversation, you asked me not to call you after 10.
Andy,
by the way, you can always call me anytime before 1 a.m. I'm an older gentleman. I don't need that much sleep.
So I go down to my basement most days in New Hampshire. I live 2 hours from here, and I smoke a bunch of weed, and I just meditate for hours in the basement. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I gotta call Andy, and like, now. And so when I call him, and he answers 11:30 at night, and I do not know Andy that well. We've never gone, like, out to have a long lunch. I don't know his life story. We've just seen each other at the show over time.
You know what? It's really just a mutual admiration situation.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
But it was funny because he was on the phone. He was like, you send me these text messages that are a little strange. They're like, I don't know you that well. And I want you to know, I want you all to know. It's 4:20 right then. Perfect timing. It was 4:20.
Yeah.
I want you all to know that this is one of the greatest shows ever in Boston. It totally saved my life, changed my life, and to be gone for so long and to come back and you're still doing it, you are an absolute hero, and you guys are all a part of it. Give him, like, some fucking love right now. Making the world a better...
All right, give me your best minute and get the fuck off.
Okay.
2 minutes, kill it, and then...
We have 2 minutes to do something that... And he thinks he's killing it. Let's get that fucking mic stand. Oh, fuck you, Improv Boston! The dick's going! No, it's not. Okay. False alarm. How could you not put it in the mic stand? You give me an empty mic stand, I think dick every time. Look how tall I am. I did a simple up on the toe and a forward motion. Rested down. And they were watching it. And they loved it. Okay. So, well, I never stopped. I don't know. I gotta stay back to the stage. I can't even go out. Okay, we're gonna start with the laughter right now, and we're gonna bring this fucking energy to the goddamn roof, right? Because the next comic coming on, the last comic, is my good friend, and you guys are gonna like, oh, you're gonna fucking love him much. Big love. So for like the next 20 seconds, let's get it going right now. All right, get it going. Bring that, come on, give me the laughter.